It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 37 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Man, do we have baseball, softball, track, soccer, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, NFL draft. We've got it all coming to you this week, and we're going to talk about it all. Coach Cal, we're going to talk about that. Our good buddy Tony Stowers is out today, but we've got an adequate replacement in Jeff Tuttle, and he's going to talk to us about all things
dirt. How you feel about that, buddy? Adequate. That's what you just got described.
Put me at the head of the table here, where Tony usually says, but I'm adequate.
You're adequate.
I don't know what to say.
Got you there.
Yeah, you got me. I don't say. I was trying to use big words.
Yeah.
You know, and so
phenomenal would have been a big word.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Phenomenal replacement, Jeff Tuttle. You can cut that and put that in.
Okay, we'll do.
Yeah, we'll cut that and put that in there. We got a phenomenal replacement, Jeff Tuttle, the Dirks Outlaw. Knows all things about them and Southwest Arkansas sports. One other thing we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about some coaching changes, too, that are going on around the area. But first, let's talk about the Leopards. The Leopard baseball team is on fire.
Yeah, fire.
They're on fire.
Yeah, what is that, 7 games in a row?
Yeah, they're 13-5, and we record this on Tuesday, so we're going to talk about a game Monday night, which happened on the 22nd. Big game there. But the Leopards last week, they played Thursday versus Malvern, won 18-9. Friday versus Camden Fairview, won 7-3. And Monday versus Ashdown, won 4-3 in 11 innings. And hadn't seen a better baseball game than that one.
Yeah, that must have been a good one.
I really haven't. Pitching by Logan Patrician was unbelievable. And just a great job by the Panther pitchers, too. And we talk about that some when we talk to Jim Cross. We'll talk about that. But Logan did a great job. He's pitched in every one of these games.
Yeah.
And done an outstanding job in every one of them, but above and beyond in the game Monday.
Yeah. Well, Greg, you told me, I believe he pitched 9 innings.
Yeah.
And that just tells you about the pitching. To go 9 innings and stay within the pitch count that they have in high school baseball, he's limiting batters on pitches.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I have another question about that. So 9 innings of good work, and this kid doesn't get to win.
No.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. He had 9 innings, and he didn't get the win. You're right. Connor Shelton came in for the next two. And you know who gave Connor the win?
Patrician.
You got it. Logan Patrician with the game-winning walk-off hit, scoring Sam Graham from second base in the 11th, bottom of the 11th inning. An electric atmosphere out there. I mean, it was really a really big game for both teams. This cemented the Leopards into the regionals next week at Nashville. So, huge game for them. They've got one more game coming up. They go to Malvern on Friday as it stands right now. I'm anticipating that to be moved to Thursday.
Yeah.
And which may affect our pitching some. So, we'll see, though. But I could talk about that game all day long. Yeah. So many great plays by so many different Leopards that we could sit here and talk about it a long, long time.
Yeah.
But just a great win for them. They're in the regionals next week, so we'll be talking about that more next week, and also about the game Friday, and it's going to be at Magnolia.
So regardless if they lose to Malvern, they're in the regionals.
Yeah, Magnolia.
Magnolia, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in the regionals now. It's just steep seating.
Right. Yeah. So it'll depend on when they're playing first seed, second.
I'm relatively certain that they're third seed right now, even if they lose, if they win. You're gonna have to look at the tiebreaker because Magnolia beat them by over five runs. So we'll have to beat them by over five runs, and then you'll go to further tiebreakers, which I'm not even aware of what they
are.
So we'd have to look. You know, you'd have to look at that.
We'll find out next week.
We'll find out next week for sure. So talking about the Lady Leopards, they're now 12-7 on the year. Last Tuesday, they played the Malvern Lady Leopards, probably one of the best teams in the state. I think they'll compete for a state title. They got beat 15-0 by the Lady Leopards. They got an outstanding pitcher. She can play linebacker for the Leopards, I'm telling you. And when she hits the ball, you better get out of the way. I'd be running the other way when she hits it, I promise you.
Yeah.
She hits it that hard.
Oh, man.
But, you don't want to be on the hot corner with her.
No. So they took a loss 15-0 in three innings that game. Last Friday, they played Camden Fairview and came out with a win 6-4. And then last night, they played Magnolia. I'm sorry. Last night, they played Ashdown, and they lost 9-2.
Right.
So the Lady Leopards have one more game at Magnolia, and that's going to be Thursday night. And it's going to be that'll be their final game of the year. So they losing to Ashdown last night was they are out of the regional picture.
I see. Okay.
So they're out of the regional picture. And
they had a great season.
Had a great season. They got one more game to go. A lot of young players.
Mm-hmm.
And so, only a couple of seniors on that team. And so they're gonna be coming back strong next year.
Oh yeah.
So,
Have a Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week?
We do, and we're going with Logan Patrician.
Oh wow.
And he had a great week before this, but yesterday 9 innings versus Ashdown, had the game winning hit that won the game, and for his efforts, he's going to be the Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Awesome. I think I cut you off there. Were you going to bring something else up, or was that it?
No, that was it. I was going to talk about that. And Logan, congratulations on being the Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Awesome.
And now we'll go to...
I think we should go to the Panthers, but first...
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that. First, we should probably talk about DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, 1690 Highway 70 West here in DeQueen for DeQueen Animal Hospital, of course, 870-642-8387.
Vets.
The amount of Google reviews that are giving 5 stars across the board for DeQueen Animal Hospital should tell you something. People are pretty, particular about their pets, and we know that Dr. Martin and his staff over there are great. They'll treat you they'll treat you well without leaving out the facts and everything that goes with it. So whether it's routine maintenance on your pet, I don't know what I meant to say, it's a vehicle, routine checkups, schedules, getting your vaccinations or anything like that, your pet is in good hands at DeQueen Animal Hospital.
I had my dog out there yesterday, and they did a wonderful job with him, checked him out, everything's going good.
Great.
And we appreciate them so much for the way they take care of our Ollie.
Absolutely. And don't forget about Ashdown Veterinary Clinic if you're over in Little River County, 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. They have Southwest Arkansas covered because Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, the same thing. Great Google reviews across the board. I hear nothing but good things. So they have your pets in good hands at Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and DeQueen Animal Hospital. Now we have the great Jim Cross on the line.
Jim, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, fellas. It's a beautiful Tuesday, and saw some good softball and baseball yesterday, and so, hey, life's good.
That's right. Well, before we get into that, I just want to talk about your walk Saturday. You want to just fill us in on that a little bit? Not the best weather, but you made the 30 miles.
Yeah, made the 30 miles. We did 9 miles outside before it started raining, and then 21 miles in the gym. So I could tell you how many bricks are on the wall, but I'll share that another day. But we've raised, fellas, over $49,000. That's by far the most ever. And it's just an unbelievable, give the Lord all the credit and the praise. And it's just amazing all the support we've received. And we're gonna keep going till Thursday as far as the money coming in and have a final count on Thursday morning and start dispersing the checks. That's the fun part.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hey, that's great. You do what you do for that community is outstanding, and I know you get a lot of support, but you're the one that started it, and We appreciate you so much. You're a great man, and walking 30 miles, especially inside a gym, is a really big accomplishment.
Well, you know, if I'd have played my cards right, I should have just walked to the Queen Monday, and that would have taken care of it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you could have done that. That would have been all right too. But so what about the Panther athletics for the last week?
Boy, I tell you what, guys, the girls, I want to talk about them first. They played Malvern Friday, and as you well know, Malvern has a girl on their team that probably could be one of the best players in the state. Pitcher, hits well, and we beat Malvern 5-1, and I think that's one of the best games we've played in 3 or 4 years. Maddie Troop on the mound was just dominating, and struck out 9, I believe, that game. Held them to 1 run. They didn't score a run until the last inning when their 6th hole hitter hit a home run, and we were able to scrape up. We didn't get a lot of hits, but the hits we got, we were able to move runners over, steal some bases, and got a few timely hits, and scored 5 runs on their star pitcher, and were able to come away with a huge 5-1 victory over the first place Malvern Leopards. And then, you know, the big question was for me yesterday was did they put everything into the game Friday, or was that a momentum builder? And I think in the first inning we came out with 3 runs, and I think that's a momentum builder for the girls, and beat a good the Queen squad yesterday 9-2 and pounded out 13 hits. So highlighted by Kylie Irwin's 3 hits and 3 RBIs, the catcher. And so, boy, the girls are just, you know, this is when you want to peak, and they are certainly peaking at the right time.
Yeah, they really are. Just one last thought about the pitcher from Malvern. I was trying to think about recruiting her down here to play linebacker for the Leopards. She is a specimen, for sure.
I tell you guys, when she swings the bat, I mean, I was right beside her. I feel like every time she swung the bat, she knocked my papers off the table. I mean, her swing is just, I mean, she's just different. And I say that in a positive way. I mean, she plays the game different than everybody else.
Yeah, she really does. But your Lady Panthers are just on a roll right now and playing really good softball. They're in the regionals.
Yes.
So who do they play this week?
We've got everybody's favorite Nashville Scrappers Friday.
Okay. So that'll be a big game then.
Yeah, my understanding is if we could somehow beat Nashville in Nashville, that we could maybe get a 2 seed if things roll right. But I think the main thing is, guys, just get into the regional and go from there. And so, I mean, I don't think seeding is that huge of a factor, because our conference is so good. It's at Nashville.
Yeah, it's in Nashville, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things, from what I understand, and I have not seen them play, but Monticello is supposed to be really good, and they're going to be the number 1 seed from that other conference over there. So you probably don't want to play them in the opening round. So if you can avoid the 4th seed, you probably – the rest of them, I think you're okay.
And I think we've locked up the 3 seed, even if we can't beat Nashville. Which, and you guys know, I'm not being facetious here. Beating Nashville on the road is tough. It's tough at best.
It really is. And talk about the Panthers for just a little while. I know we can talk about the game yesterday in a minute, but what about last week?
Last week, the Panthers defeated Malvern and also Arkadelphia, and that was a huge game to beat Arkadelphia, because we were right there tied with them, and so we needed to beat them, and played very well against them. Grayson Porter, our senior pitcher, pitched exceptionally. Walt Jones had a good game, the Arkansas Razorback commit, and Nash Brown also played very well for the Panthers. But it all started off with, and it's interesting talking to Coach Martindale about this, we played Redwater on Monday, a non-conference game, and they had considered canceling it just because we had so many games. But we came out against Redwater and hit the ball probably as good as we've had all season, and scored 16 runs and finally got some timely hits. And Cutter Dollarhide, our second baseman, had a home run and 2 doubles. And so that seemed to kind of spur us on to the next game against Arkadelphia in Malvern, and played very well and hit the ball well to kind of put us in the position we are today. But losing to you guys yesterday was huge, because now we're in kind of a we're kind of in a jumbled mess here with Arkadelphia, and to see who's going to get the fourth seed. And I don't really know all the ins and the outs yet, but I feel like we need to win Friday at Nashville, and that's going to be tough. But we did beat Nashville earlier in the season, so we'll see. But also, we used all of our pitching, you know, yesterday, because we played for 4 hours yesterday.
Yeah. Well, my understanding of the way that pitching works, and I didn't understand this, is that all those pitchers will be available Friday.
Okay.
Because you can only pitch 120 pitches in a game.
Okay.
But then if you pitch over 30, you got to rest a day. If you pitch over 60, you got to rest 2 days. And if you pitch over 85, I think, you got to rest 3 days. So like Walt Jones, he pitched probably 100 pitches yesterday.
He did.
Did a great job, but he still should be available for up to 120 pitches Friday. And you may tell me I'm wrong. That's just, I'm trying to learn.
I think you're right on target. I think the issue is going to be, fellas, it looks like it's going to rain Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And if they decide to move the game to Thursday, then now we can pitch Kyler Jones. You know, he's one of our starters, and you know, you would hope that he could go and he'd give you 4, 5, 6 innings, and you can close with Tyler Porter. But, I think I'm just kind of guessing with the regional tournament coming up, they probably don't want to play with the rain factor. Now, of course, anything can happen with the weather, but I wouldn't be surprised if the game's not moved to Thursday.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too.
I've seen pitches affect a team the opposite way before, moving the game back a day when a kid from Morgan State wouldn't have been available to pitch against the Razorbacks and came back and pitched a gym in the game to beat them.
Yep, that's right.
That's right. True.
Well, I know you didn't get to see all of the game yesterday, but Jim, probably the best high school baseball game I've seen, maybe ever, but I know up here. When you play 11 innings in 3 hours, the pitching is outstanding, and it was by both teams. You know, you had Grayson Porter come in, start. They bring Walt Jones in. He pitches, I don't know, 6, 7 innings, and then they bring Grayson back in at the end of the game. And you know, and there's hits there, hits here and there, but you know, both teams played excellent baseball, and you know, the Leopards came out on top in 11 innings, 4-3. But I mean, nothing for anybody to be ashamed about the way they played. I think they played good, and Grayson Porter hit a home run that's still going, I think.
I thought it was interesting about the game. The part I saw is that every play, you could hear the fans go, I mean, like just the ground ball to shortstops, you could just feel the fans tense up. every play was just like a dramatic end of the game kind of play. And like I say, every play, you could just feel it. Every pitch, you could feel it. I mean, it was a fun game to be a part of, and unfortunately, somebody had to lose, but it was a fun game to see, and to see that kind of excitement, that kind of enthusiasm.
Yeah,
and like I talk about on the radio about when we played the Queen, which I don't say about Nashville, is that when we played the Queen, it's a friendly rivalry, and there's great respect for both programs, because you know everybody. You've probably played travel ball together. You maybe worked together at the mill or something. So there's a pride to beating each other, but there's also a common respect and a bond among both programs. And so it's always a fun atmosphere to be a part of.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. Walt Jones, who obviously a good baseball player, the Razorbacks wouldn't have signed him, but I mean, he was throwing, it wasn't a radar gun. I don't know what they were using, but the people sitting next to me, he was throwing in the upper 80s all the time. Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good for a high school pitcher.
And isn't that amazing, fellas? He's not even a pitcher.
No.
I mean, he doesn't pitch during the summertime. I mean, he's not going to pitch for the Razorbacks. Nope. He's just an athlete who pitches.
yeah. And he does a good job. You know, one last question for you, Jim. I know we got to let you go, but if I've got this figured right, and I'm going to ask you if you've done any figuring on this, if Nashville beats Ashdown and Arkadelphia wins both of their games this week, which they got to play Malvern, I believe, and then they play at Camden Fairview, is that going to put Ashdown out?
I'm afraid so. If they win both of their games, we'll have if we lose against Nashville, we'll have six losses, and they'll have five.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And so I'm calling my good buddies at Camden Fairview. I know the umpire down there, so I'm gonna see if we can see if we can work something out.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of good baseball teams in our conference, and it'd be a shame for Ashdown not to be in there. So I hope they get in there. Anything else you got before we let you go for the week?
Well, I'm going to go back and talk about that Malvern game again. That was, okay. I kind of felt like that as we did yesterday. It was that kind of game.
Uh-huh.
It was so well played on both ends, both teams moving runners over, great defensive play. Jayla Richard, the center fielder, she made two plays in center field that were just unbelievable. And, if she doesn't make those plays, we probably lose. And I asked her after the game, I said, Jayla, those are great plays. And I said, what's your secret? Here's what she said. She said, I'm pretty fast.
Yeah. No secret to that, right?
Hey, I said, that does help.
Yeah.
But it's been a good week of baseball and softball. And that's one of the blessings that we have, guys. We get to see it up close.
Mm-hmm.
And for our perspective, sure, you always want to win. But it's always good to see good high quality games, and that's what we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, one last thing, Jim, before I let you go, we need a Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week.
Wow, that's tough. That is tough. Can I give you two of them?
Sure, you can give me two of them if you'd like.
All right, Matty Troop, the pitcher for the softball team, who's pitched two just well of a ball games. And I believe in 16 innings, she's given up two runs against two really good clubs. And then Kylie Irwin, who in that same stretch, I believe she has five hits and four RBIs, the catcher. So Kylie Irwin and Maddie Troop would be the Horatio State Players of the Bank.
I got it. So the Horatio State Bank Players of the Week for the Panthers, Maddie Troop and Callie Irwin. And Jim, we appreciate you so much, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Now, thank you, guys. And I'm assuming that y'all going to be giving me some good vibes against Nashville on Friday.
Well, you know we are, buddy. You know that.
I'll definitely be tuning in.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye, Jim.
Right, bye-bye.
Big thanks to Jim Cross for calling in after those great games last night.
Yeah, we appreciate Jim so much. Yeah. Does an outstanding job, and what an outstanding human being.
No kidding, man.
He's a great guy.
We were talking earlier on the show today about how stinky Facebook is and all that stuff on it, but when you see Jim Cross on there walking or all that stuff, that's what Facebook should be for.
Yeah.
That's feeling good.
You're exactly right. How about we talk about the Costite River Eagles?
I'm ready.
All right, the Costite River Eagles, their baseball team, 6-7 over the year. They played twice last week. They won at Caddo Hills, or versus Caddo Hills, 10-2. And then at Akron, they won 13-0. So good week for the Costite River Eagles. And the Lady Eagles are 4-10 overall, and they won 11-9 versus Caddo Hills. Thursday, they were at Waldron, won 2-1 in a nail biter. And Friday, they were at Dardanelle, and they lost 10-9. So good week for the Lady Eagles also, as they go 2-1 on the week. And so they're Union Bank Eagle Player of the Week is going to be Charlie Tadlock. 15 strikeouts on the week.
Oh, wow.
So great pitching job by her. And this week, both the baseball and softball teams are going to be in the 3A4 conference tournament.
Gotcha.
So we'll get those reports next week.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the Foreman Gators. The Foreman Gators are now 2-9, and last week they played versus Akron. They won that game 3-2. Then they played versus Hayworth Friday, lost 17-1. Hayworth's got a good baseball team.
That's gonna is that a non-conference game?
That's a Hayworth? Non-conference okay. game. Yeah, that's in, they're in Oklahoma. And then yesterday they lost 10-5 to Caddo Hills in the conference tournament. So the Gators' season is over now. And Lady Gators, they're at 5-5. Last Monday they lost to Spring Hill 4-3. Versus Tuesday, and then Tuesday they played Dirks, and they won that game 7-6.
Walk off. Not a walk off home run, but you know, walk off
hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are always fun when you lose those, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
yeah. But you know, then they got a little revenge in the conference tournament yesterday. They beat Spring Hill 4-3, who beat them last week 4-3. So they are still in the conference tournament. They're going to be playing Horatio today. Tall order for the Lady Gators, but you never know.
Horatio, the number one seed, won the conference.
Yep. Wow. Never know. So good luck to the Gators as they play Horatio today. And the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week is going to be Callie Culp. She's a junior first baseman playing for the Lady Gators. And
awesome.
So they'll be in the 2A7 conference tournament as long as they can hang.
Yeah.
Until the end. If they can hang that long.
That's right.
So we're going to move on now to the Horatio Lions. We'll talk about them just for a minute. The Lions, 9-8, they played Thursday at Murfreesboro, and they lost that game 14-6. And, Jeff, I know you've got some information on the Lions.
I reached out to Coach Sprick. He's always been good to get back with us and let us know some things. And he said it was a really good ball game, tied 6-6, end of the fifth inning. You know, anybody that's listening, they're only seven inning game, so
yeah,
they were competing, and you know, gave up some runs and lost 14-6 was the final. But Brayson Scarborough went 2-for-4. Ryland Pickett 2-for-4, had a grand slam. Braden Scarborough 2-for-3 with a home run, and you know it's. That was the only game they had last week. I think he said they were going to play, like you say, this is Tuesday. They didn't have to go to the conference district tournament yesterday. They had a bye. And they'll play Spring Hill today, who defeated Caddo Hills. Caddo Hills had to play two games last night. They beat Foreman and then lost to Spring Hill, kind of like the Lady Outlaws went. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But
yeah. But so the Lions playing today versus Spring Hill. Okay. And so
semifinal matchup.
Semifinals. Okay.
Yeah, everybody playing today is in the regional. I mean that, so it'll be Spring Hill, Horatio, Murfreesboro, and Derricks.
Okay.
Are the four, and you know, it's seeding is the only thing that can be changed
so
up.
Yeah. So it's like the basketball tournaments where you play these two games, then those two play in the finals, then the other two, play again?
We're not playing a consolation. You'll kind of fall back to how your seeding was coming into the district tournament. So
if you were seeded higher coming in, you're going to be the third place team.
Yeah.
Okay. And so moving on to the Lady Lions, they are conference champions after an 8-1 victory over Murfreesboro last Friday. Congratulations to them for being the conference champs.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, they're waiting to play, and they're going to play the Gators today. So the Foreman Lady Gators, as you just told me, they're in the regional tournament next week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, out on Monday. Winning and advancing, they've made it to the regionals.
Well, that's great for the Lady Gators also, and the Lady Lions take them on today in the conference tournament to determine that, and we look forward to hearing what they did next week. And Jeff, you got a Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week for us?
Well, Coach Sprick, you know, he talked about it, and he talked about Ryland Pickett hitting a grand slam. I mean, okay. You don't see a whole lot of grand slams out there. So no. We're going to go with Ryland Pickett, Horatio Lions, with a grand slam. And it's 2-for-4 outing against the Rattlers.
take a second to talk about Dr. Randy Walker, who has you covered 7/7/7. That's 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. The multi-specialty clinic is open to you. And even after hours, you can still get some health care. 24/7 after hours on-call provider. You will talk to a person if you call 870-584-3000. Hit option 6 if it's past 7 p.m. Or before 7 a.m. I guess it's always past 7 p.m. and it's always before 7 a.m. if you think about it. It's always that.
Well, you've done went over my head.
Yeah. If you're looking at that clock, that's wrong. All the things you've come to expect from a multi-specialty clinic like Dr. Walker's: wound care, fracture care and casting, joint injections, minor skin lacerations, IV fluids, antibiotics, and much, much more. For the workplace as well, DOT physicals, drug screens, workers' comp, and employment and pre-employment physicals, they have you covered, like I've said. And moving on over to kind of the satellite of Dr. Randy Walker is the Leopard Care Clinic. At an on-campus full-service medical clinic, open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Their goal with Leopard Care Clinic is to help improve the lives of Daquin School District children and faculty by bringing essential services to them when and where they need them most, on campus, all day. Leopard Care Clinic, supporting student success because healthy students are better learners. And we've kind of made that connection before with the Queen's amazing test scores. You wonder how much of that can be attributed to having an on-campus full-service medical clinic to keep the kids focused. And anything happens, they can just go right to the Leopard Care Clinic right there.
And I think that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I think that healthy kids are better learners. They don't miss as much school. And having a clinic right there on campus is very beneficial to that.
Absolutely. Moving to Simple Simon's Pizza, of course, 870-642-4103. Call them for dine-in, carry-out, delivery, buffet, you name it. Simple Simon's has it. And, of course, they are doing – what's that?
I had some last night.
You did?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, pizza and breadsticks.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Their breadsticks are ridiculously good. Instead, sometimes I just order those instead of a pizza because my favorite part about pizza is the bread, the cheese, and the marinara.
Was that an April 15th celebration?
It was.
Ah, yes. Yes.
It was.
And then, of course, they do great things. I'm sure we'll have Angie Walker in by at least the next episode to talk about their next 50-50. Yep. That'll be going on over at Simple Simon's the first Monday of every month. They do 50-50, meaning half of everything they sell that day goes towards the benefactor of their choosing, which this month was Daquin Church of Christ Youth Group.
That is correct.
Yeah, which you guys do so much stuff with that money. So that is amazing. So big shout out to y'all as well as Simple Simon. So
whether we appreciate them so much. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. You're fine. I almost had them cater the UFC event, but I would have pulled the trigger a little too soon. But next time I'm absolutely going to do that because there was a lot of people that showed up to it. Their catering loaded sports deal is amazing. It'll feed 20 people. Mm-hmm. It's $60, which is way less than I ended up paying for all the stuff that I needed. $3 a piece. Exactly. So you get all the wings, you get sticks, you get pizzas, you get cheese sticks, cinnamon sticks. It's crazy, man. So, and then if you really need more, I mean, the Beast Feast, the Crowd Pleaser, all these great things. You know what I mean?
It's all good, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus their buffet, their dine-in, their carry-out, you name it. Simple Simon's nails it. We don't want to forget about Ayers Cleaners at 621 West Gilson Avenue, 870-584-7128. Open on Saturday for your convenience now, I believe, till noon.
They are.
A shout-out to them for that. That's a great time for you to pick up your stuff if you're busy through the week. And we'll have to get a little confirmation, but I do believe all Sevier County graduates are going to be able to have their caps and gowns pressed at Ayers Cleaners free of charge.
That's true.
Get it done early if you can. They don't want them done the day of. That's probably going to be a different story. So Ayers Cleaners have been here for forever, and now continuing on and honoring the legacy Ayers Cleaners in downtown Daquin. And let's not forget Dr. Randy Walker's Dirks Clinic, which is fully expanded.
It
looks great. I believe x-ray services are on the table now, and more coming right there on Main Street for your convenience. Dr. Randy Walker, absolutely expanding.
Triple the size of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tripled the size of it.
So incredible.
Got a lot more opportunity to see patients, don't have to make them wait as long. Got x-ray services there now. Just the amazing thing about the Walkers is how much they invest into our community.
Absolutely.
Both here and in Dirks.
Community partners all the way. So we appreciate them, of course, one, for sponsoring, being our title sponsor of the podcast since its very inception. And then also for being these community partners. They're all over every community event, everything. Angie just put on a great Pioneer Palooza at the Eclipse Festival. That was awesome. And just so many things. Too many to name.
Tell you what, that girl doesn't sleep.
No, she doesn't.
No.
I think she's kind of like you. I don't think she'd be able to not. She can't retire.
No.
No way. What would she do?
I don't know. She'd be doing something.
She'd be doing something. Yeah. That's right.
Rule the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Thank goodness she just decided to stay here and help Sevier County,
because
she could probably rule the world in one way or another.
That's
all right. That is the Walker's Enterprise, and it makes sense. Let's talk to Jeff Tuttle in studio. King Tut.
All right, Jeff, it's time to talk about the Dirks Outlaws now, and I know you know everything about that.
Well, I know a lot about it. I don't know about everything. Anything I don't know, I have people that tell me.
Yeah, I understand. So, they line you out, don't they?
We'll start things off with Lady Outlaw Softball. And guys, from Monday to Monday, which they bookend that with Caddo Hills, they've had a busy week. They played six games, you know, by getting two in last night in a district tournament. But last Monday, and we kind of went over it a little bit last week, on Monday, they defeated Caddo Hills Lady Indians 9-2. And as we know, they lost to Foreman Gators 7-6 with that walk-off run scored by Foreman Lady Gators. And real quick, I mean, that's a huge loss because it changed up their seeding in the district tournament. Mm-hmm. They had to play two games last night, where if they had moved up one spot by winning that game, they would only had to play one. Now, they would have matched up with the Horatio Lady Lions in the second round, which is going to be tough for anybody. But they lost that one. And then on Thursday, they traveled to Kirby, defeated Kirby 14-4, I believe. I know it was 10 run. And I don't know that I got a picture of the scoreboard for that one, but 10 run win against Kirby. And then on Friday, they took on Akron, who is the number two seed in the district. And they lost by 12 runs. I believe it was 16-4 to the Akron Lady Tigers. You know, and that was last week. Then they started up again yesterday, and they defeated Caddo Hills Lady Indians in the first round 3-1 in a well-pitched game by both teams. And by winning that game, they had to play again the last game of the softball session last night, two games, and they jumped out on Murfreesboro 3-0 in the first inning. Murfreesboro's a pretty good team. I mean, have a good pitcher, Brinkley girl, and we jumped on her, and then she shut us down after that. They had two innings where they scored five runs in each inning, both of those with two outs. I mean,
those are killers.
Yes, and that's the only runs they scored. So 10-3 was the final score, and that ended the season for the Lady Outlaws by not advancing to the ball games today. And I just want to mention, you know, off of the roster there, we had four seniors that contributed, and you know, they've been crucial to the Lady Outlaws softball program the last few years. You know, and that's, I gave them all players of the game last night just because they're seniors, and our sponsors let us do that. And it was Emmy Ford, Harley Barber, Maddie Chandler, and Sydney Mounts, and we appreciate everything those girls have done for the softball program. Been fun watching them, and we hate to see it end because I love calling softball on the radio.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? It's really fun, and a good season by the Lady Outlaws, and sorry it's over, but how about the Outlaws?
Outlaws baseball last week, and we mentioned this last week too because they played on a Monday, and we done this on a Tuesday. They defeated Caddo Hills 15-0 with a no-hitter thrown by Andrew Mack. He had 15 strikeouts. We talked about that. They didn't even play the bottom of the seventh, so 15 of the
18 right.
outs were strikeouts in a little mist and rain at that. And then they defeated Akron 12-2 on Friday, winning pitcher Andrew Mack. And Now, I'm going to say 12-2 because that's what it was when I had to leave. And for some reason, it should have been 10-run. We were batting, and they just kept playing. I don't know if they had people they were just wanting to get in the game or – but, you know, 12-2 is what I was calling that. And then the district tournament started last night, and they had to play on the first night too, and they got Akron again, you know, back-to-back games against Akron last Friday and then last night. And they defeated Akron 15-3 last night. Danny Deere was the winning pitcher. And by doing that, they advanced to play today at 4:30 on Tuesday against the Murfreesboro Rattlers.
And that's a big rivalry there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And Murfreesboro's got a pretty good team. I mean, they're the conference champions this year, and I don't think anybody in our conference has really gave them a test. I mean,
yeah.
But our toe thumper player of the week.
You going with him?
Well, to borrow a page out of Jim Cross's playbook, I'm going to go with two real quick. And just because you can't disregard a no-hitter, even though it was thrown last week, and we've talked about it 2 weeks, two wins last week for Andrew Mack, so he gets the nod there. But on the softball team, somebody's been fun to watch the last 4 years, Sidney Mounts. And I was so busy doing ball games yesterday, I hadn't really talked about that. I've done three games yesterday, softball, baseball, and softball again. But I'm not sure of her numbers yesterday. She had a good game. But I know the last two games last week, she was 8 of 9 from the plate. And, I mean, she deserves a nod there.
Yeah, so, that's good. That's
Sidney Mounts, Andrew Mack, players of the week for the Outlaws.
All right. Well, that's good, and we appreciate you doing that.
Before we get off of Outlaws.
Yes.
Track and field.
Mm-hmm.
District meet, senior high district meet coming up Wednesday. I mean, everybody get out. It's at Caddo Hills. Go support these kids. I mean, hey, track and field's a whole nother animal. You're out there with heart. You're not out there with somebody lobbing pitches into you or tackling somebody for you. I mean, it's you.
Yeah.
And so the senior high district meet is Wednesday at Caddo Hills. Junior high district meet was last week at Caddo Hills. Junior boys won the district meet. They placed first. And the girls, junior girls, finished second in a district meet. And I'm sure I'll get a message if I'm incorrect, but I'm pretty sure they done that with five kids. Junior girls finished second with five kids on the team.
That's some scoring right there.
Yes, it is.
And since you mentioned that, I failed to mention it when we were talking about the Leopards, but I do want to mention our junior high track teams, both girls and boys, won the conference meets last week. And our district meet is today in Camden Fairview. So,
About the points, Miley Harrison from Derrick's was high point for the girls. So
great, great. So anything else about the Outlaws that you want to go? You headed back to Spring Hill today then.
Get out yesterday by the time this comes out and support those Outlaws.
That's right.
I mean, they need to support against the Rattlers. And they're, like you say, they're in the regionals. Their seating can be anywhere from 1 to 4 right now, I'm assuming. I think Spring Hill is ahead of us. So, you know, the 3 seed would be out. But if they win, they could be the 1 or the 2. And, you know, if you don't support them this week, it's just a short drive to Parker's Chapel next week for the regional. And go down there and cheer them on. Outlaws.
All the way across the state, right?
Yeah.
And
to Louisiana.
You know, and so just, you know, throwing out a little bit of love to the Ashdown Panthers and the DeQueen Leopards. Their regional tournament's going to be in Nashville. So it'll be pretty close. So,
and I mean, it doesn't matter if you like Ashdown, Nashville, DeQueen, Malvern. Or you can go watch some good ball being played close to home.
You know, the interesting part about it is, and I know you do this too, is that it's kind of fun to not have a dog in the hunt, to say. You know, you just go watch and you really don't care who wins. You just want to see good play.
It's even more fun if it's your off day, though, and you're still playing.
Yeah.
Not quite as much fun if you're out and just you're out of the
race. That's true, but I mean, like,
I understand. I know what you're saying.
You know, I know that when we talked to Jim, you said you might go watch them Friday night playing the Scrappers, and it should be a great ball game. in Nashville, and you don't have a dog in that hunt, you know, other than the one we've all got.
And I'll definitely make my way to Nashville for the regionals.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And so that pretty much covers all the high school sports in the area for this week. We got some other things we want to talk about. Before we move on to out of high school arena, I kind of want to talk about some coaching changes that are coming up. Mm. There's been quite a few, and some of them moving around from one school in our listing area to another one. And, and if you see something wrong on there, Jeff, you can correct me. But
some of it's news to me as okay. I look over.
Well, Coach Dakota Barrett, who started the football program, and we've talked to him several times on this podcast, is taking over the head boys basketball job for Brian Richardson up at Costot River, in addition to doing football next year. He's going to be doing both next year.
I would think that would be really tough. I mean, as football kind of runs into basketball season for some of those schools like that,
I'm just wondering.
He'll have an unhappy wife at home because he's not going to be there.
Yeah, well, maybe. that's a different subject. But I'm just wondering if they're going to back off and play like football schools do and not play. You know, normally they start October 15th with basketball. But, football schools, they don't really start till basically November
15th. I know when basketball season, we talked about that last year, like Derrick's and DeQueen would have five games and Costot River was at 14 or 15.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering if that's going to change now that they're playing football.
I'm not sure.
But they're not playing high school football yet, so that probably will not change. So it probably won't. But anyway, he's going to be doing both. He's got some additional coaches up there. Lance Bradshaw, who is moving up there, and he's going to be a coach up there next year.
So Coach Barrett is taking over the boys'
basketball. Yeah.
So they'll be looking for a girls coach too then.
They are, and they're interviewing this week. I talked to him. He said he'd let me know as soon as they had a hire. Blake Alexander, who was the girls coach at Costa River, is heading to Horatio to coach the senior girls. He's going to take over for Coach Reed, who is he was in administration and coaching. Now he's just going to be in administration for the Horatio Lions down there.
Coach Reed has sat in with us.
Yeah.
Several times. Likable, personable guy. He'll do fine in administration.
Yeah, he will. And then the next one, and still open here, Lady Leopards head basketball coach Eden Spears resigned last week to accept the head coaching position at Gurdon. And her husband, Evan, also resigned and as a football coach here, and he's going to go coach the offensive line at Arkadelphia. So we're looking for a couple of coaches here at DeQuain. Something, if you know any good prospects, always open, man.
All I have to add to that is a few rumors, and we don't want to get them started on the podcast.
No, I don't think we need to do that.
Wait till we're off there.
Yeah, there's stuff going around, but I just wanted to talk about that for a minute, because there are changes going on. There's going to be some new coaches at Costot River, at Horatio, and at DeQuain. And that's what we know now. There could be some more still, but that's what we know now. So, but probably enough about that. What do y'all want to talk about now? We can talk about anything you want to. You want to talk about Coach Cal?
Yeah, Coach Tony, let's do that.
He's not here.
Huh?
Or we can talk about Tony.
Yeah, we could.
We could just talk about Tony.
Yeah, let's just talk about Tony for a while. Coach Cal started his recruiting process, so he's got his first recruit. And I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, but he was a 7-1 guy that from somewhere over in Eastern Europe that played for the Kentucky Wildcats last year.
7-1 and from Europe.
Yeah. They grew on big over there.
Yeah, they do.
I think it has something to do with Chernobyl, but I'm not sure about that.
They're all mutated?
Yeah.
I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, you take them the way you can get them, man. But they can play basketball, that's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, and so.
Look at the last year's NBA winner.
Yeah.
I mean. What's
Denver
his name?
Nuggets.
Yeah, the Nuggets.
It's easier to just call him Joker.
Yeah, Joker. Just call him Joker. Yeah. Yeah, great basketball player. But, Coach hired his first assistant coach, Kenny Payne, who had been his assistant at Kentucky and was a head coach at Louisville last year. I think he went like 2-20 or something like that.
Did they fire him mid-season?
They fired him.
I couldn't remember if it was mid-season or if he made it through the season.
I'm not sure about that, but they did fire him. But he's now going to be the highest-paid assistant basketball coach at Arkansas ever.
Hmm. Not a bad gig for $900,000.
No, $900,000 to be the second in line to Calipari and pretty good deal.
I mean, you got to do some recruiting, and during the ball games, if Coach Cal gets tossed,
that's what they used to call it, right?
Yeah, it used to be cheating.
It used to be cheating.
Now. Yeah,
you just pay them now.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just whoever's got the most money, and John Tyson's divvied up $6 million.
We got some money up there
now. This is a rumor, and you may have heard this, and you may know it's to be a fact, but I don't know it to be a fact, but I'm going to go ahead and tell this rumor on the podcast. I have heard tell from someone that Jerry Jones has offered any Kentucky recruit double the NIL money if they'll come to Arkansas.
I have also heard that, and I don't know if y'all know this or not, but me and Jerry Jones are friends. Might be a different Jerry Jones. But anyway, I have not confirmed this, but yeah. I have heard it.
I hadn't confirmed it either, but I'm working on that. But it would not surprise me.
Yeah.
And that's what Coach Cal brings to your program. The
scandal. And
well, it's really not scandal anymore, but, you know, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah.
But I am going to enjoy watching them play and win.
Yeah.
And I
will tell you that.
I kind of touched on this last week, I believe, but at some point they keep talking about paying this and that for your basketball recruits. Football program, they're going to want some of that money too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean,
that's definitely
football
true.
Program is, and people can like it or not, it doesn't matter if we're talking high school, college, they're the breadwinners.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the money's at.
For sure.
Well, that'll be next year when they get some new coaches.
What about nationally? What about nationally? Does I bet the NHL and the NBA are close. No, maybe. Or is the NHL still blow them out the water?
Yeah,
I would say NFL, NBA, Major League.
Yeah,
then NHL. Yeah. I mean, that would just be my.
Yeah, I would probably go with that. But I was thinking NBA brings in so much money too. You know, you like
okay. Not even close to what the NFL does.
No. Do we know? So NBA is like $2.1 billion or something a year. So it's got to be even more. For the NFL, but I don't
know.
You're
talking about gross?
Yeah, like just how much they bring in, you know. So I don't even know.
Well, I know it's a whole lot.
Yeah, they brought in. Yeah, Taylor Swift. You know,
I mean, the NBA has Drake.
Yeah,
who does baseball and the NHL have? I mean,
baseball has. What do you got there?
All the NFL revenue streams from all aspects, $18.6 billion U.S. dollars.
Wow, it's not even close.
Yeah,
it's not even close. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was like, you know, you just think about it, NBA. I mean, it's massive.
But I mean, I don't have this at my fingertips mm-hmm. or off the top of my head like Greg does over here. But I would think Major League Baseball. I would think they spend too much to be. I mean, because. They spend ungodly money
on
people.
They really do.
Well, you're talking about giving out $400 million contracts to multiple people.
Yeah. That one dude, what was his? He's like the highest paid dude ever?
Is it Ohtani now?
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be Bryce Harper, and I think now it's probably Ohtani.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That really is crazy.
Gross revenue for Major League Baseball, $10.32
billion?
Yeah.
So okay. So I think maybe I feel like I might be wrong on the NBA one. Can you get me the NBA real quick,
sure,
Mr. Associate Producer over there?
Yeah.
Bringing us all the stats. I mean, I feel like I read about that, but I don't quite remember. It seemed like a lot.
I mean, I would think they would probably be behind the NFL.
Yeah.
In front of
baseball,
but I'm not positive. I mean, yeah. I'm just
how learned we are on this. We're going to learn.
This
as
is what
quick
you call
as Greg can Google.
This is what you call a podcast on the fly.
Yeah,
right
that's
here.
Right. That's right.
Well, one of the things you look at the, I think the NFL that their marketing plan is light years above the other ones.
Yeah, Yeah, you're probably right on that.
Because, I mean, they're going to Argentina or Brazil to play this year. I mean, they just, are.
And they are ran by a dictator.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, Goodell is a dictator, I believe. Yeah.
$10 billion gross.
Yeah, $10 billion gross. Yeah. So there you go. Okay, so I was way off.
Yeah.
So not as far behind, but still, yeah. I mean, we're talking about
double.
Yeah, double.
Almost.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, almost double. But
prime time of the season for the NBA and NHL right now.
Yeah, for sure.
But one of the things that we wanted to talk about is, let's talk about the NHL just for a minute. Mm-hmm. They've started their playoffs.
By the way, this goes back to last week. Buffalo Sabres are still in existence.
They are still okay.
they doubted me last week, gang. I think you had probably left at the time, but I said they used to be my favorite team and asked if they were still around, and I got chuckles all around the table here.
I haven't heard their name brought up in quite a while, so I thought that maybe they folded, but I guess I was wrong on that.
There's probably a reason you hadn't heard their name.
Well, every team but two from the NHL are in the playoffs, and they're not in it.
They're not in it.
I really don't know if they're in it or not.
Who's from the West Conference that isn't in it?
They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. Yeah, I did a little research before we started the podcast and during while you guys were talking about some stuff that I don't really have much to add to, because I paid attention to three teams, but I wanted to get a little bit more of a look in what people are thinking for the season, because I did not watch the regular season. And NHL, I think, similar to NBA. A lot of guys aren't going to be playing. A lot of teams aren't going to be too worried until the playoffs start. But your win rate, I guess, does matter, or how many wins you get during the regular season. So who has the most wins is actually the New York Rangers so far in the original season with 55 wins, and then the rest of the top ones are all at 52. So, but they're not, I mean, from everything I can see, some people are picking the Rangers to get to the Stanley Cup, but most people are actually picking the Dallas Stars, or more importantly, the Carolina Hurricanes. Those are going to be the big picks, I think. Most of the major predictions are saying the final two will be the Stars and the Hurricanes.
The Stars are trailing in theirs.
Yes.
Well, since the Sabres aren't in it, I don't know who's in it, but I like the Kraken. I like that name. Did they make it, or are they the other team that didn't make the playoffs?
I think they're the other team that didn't make it. Looking over just some of the games that have already happened, Dallas Stars actually has lost their first game to Vegas 4-3. Doesn't mean too much. First game of the playoffs, you know, and it was a close game, so we'll see how that goes. Nobody's really picking Vegas to beat them. I guess this is the best version of the Dallas Stars ever. So,
well, they've won a Stanley Cup.
Was Hull there?
I think so. Brett
Hull,
Winnipeg Jets, they have 52 wins, and they won their first game over a pretty wild one, 7-6, which is a very high-scoring game. Avalanche expected to lose to the Jets. In the East Conference, you have the New York Rangers. They had their first win over Washington, 4-1, and they also led the points in the regular season at 114 points, which obviously does matter.
Not to interrupt you, but real quick, this first round here, is this best of five or best of seven? How do they do it?
Best of five.
Okay.
I do believe so. And then I think in round two, it goes to best of seven. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's been a while since I watched the playoffs. I'm definitely going to be watching the games tonight, as many as I can, or pay attention to
Jets
as many as
tonight.
I can. Jets play tonight. That's the game I'll be watching.
Yeah.
But I'll pay attention to the other ones. And then the Florida Panthers, they have 52 wins in their regular season. They had their first win over Tampa Bay, 3-2. I hate Tampa Bay. It's my least favorite team in the NHL, simply because of their skate-out song, rather. Horrible Thunder and Lightning by Imagine Dragons.
Okay.
It really is the most horrible piece of garbage music ever made. So I really don't like that song. It is awful. And so
reason not to like it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tampa Bay Lightning.
And he doesn't like the uniform colors.
No, I don't like that either. Yeah. So like my NBA team is going to be the Miami Heat, mm-hmm. and then you have the Tampa Bay Lightning being my least favorite. Yeah. So I have no allegiances anywhere. I just like certain guys. You know, I want Jimmy Buckets to get something. I want him to go.
Yeah,
I want him to do it. I don't know how they're
not going to happen.
But yeah, I didn't pay attention at all.
They're trying
the
Celtics. Yeah, one yeah. to zero. Celtics top rank.
Yeah, they're
predicted
gonna,
to probably win them or Denver yeah. probably win the NBA. Championship.
I'm going to try and believe as much as I can.
Yeah, I watched about 2 minutes of the Lakers Nuggets game when yeah. I got home last night. Mm-hmm. It was nearly over. I thought the Lakers were going to beat them, and the Nuggets hit a shot at the buzzer to win. I mean,
oh man,
yeah, Lakers led the whole game.
Yeah,
which usually means in the NBA you're going to lose.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah, that's what usually happens. But. Anything else on NHL?
I'll just quickly say the Hurricanes and the Stars are definitely poised to be. That'll be who's in the Stanley Cup. I want the Panthers and the Jets. That's who I want to make it to the very top. Florida Panthers.
So we need to make our picks right now?
No. That's just like my first.
I mean, I was just going to say, if y'all want me to buy lunch, you better have me picking on this
hockey. Yeah, yeah.
I picked two so far, and they're in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
Glad we wasn't official there.
The Sabres.
You can go with the Kraken.
Yeah, the Kraken.
Where'd that come from? You sure that's not a rum bottle you had?
Well, I think it is. I think that's why I like them.
I guess teams to pay attention to that could potentially make it to the playoffs are the Hurricanes and the Stars, of course, the Rangers, the Jets, the Panthers, and then the Oilers a little bit.
I also like the the Pittsburgh Captain Morgans.
Yeah. Although we'll see how Vegas does. I mean, nobody's got really Vegas going that high, but
how do you not bet on a team from Vegas?
I don't know. They won their first year they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You believe that?
By the standards, they put them high right there.
Yeah,
I mean.
And then Boston as well. You cannot count out Boston. So they're tied with the Maple Leafs 1-1 right now in the first playoff series. So see how it all shakes out. Anything else, guys? Not anything you want to add? Anybody you want to pay attention to win?
NHL? No, I think, I mean,
it's a little soon.
I'm pulling for the Jets.
Yeah.
And the Stars.
Yeah.
And I know they're on a collision course because they're in the same conference, but, you know, I like Dallas just because they're the closest.
Yeah, that's absolutely what I was going to say. If I had a pull for one, it'd be the Stars because they're.
Yeah.
I mean, if a guy wanted to drive to watch some hockey, he could go watch the NHL right there.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? And then Winnipeg, obviously, because of y'all.
Yeah.
So I have no real ties to NHL, but I think that this is the time of year when it's fun to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's. You want to move on to NBA? Not NBA. Well, we can talk about NBA for a minute if you want to. I mean, playoffs starting there, and you talked a little bit about Jimmy Buckets in Miami, looking like. Looks like Denver's still a team to beat in the West, and also Boston looking really good in the East.
Yeah. So you're thinking Celtics Nuggets might be.
I think that's a high probability. Yeah, I think the Celtics are playing really well. I like to watch Oklahoma City play, and the reason why because they got three players from Arkansas on there, and they play.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know. The other night they were playing and doing really – Isaiah Joe was popping some three-pointers now. And then Boston also has an Arkansas Razorback on their team. Milwaukee has Bobby Portis. You know, there's a lot of Arkansas Razorbacks playing. There's actually two guys with Arkansas ties that are – buying for the sixth man of the year in the NBA. Bobby Portis is one of them.
Yeah.
And the other, Malik Monk.
Who played for Kentucky, by the way, and Calipari.
Yeah.
I mean, they think he might be a shoe-in to get the sixth man.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Are you, do you have any allegiances at the moment? I mean, do you want the Celtics to win? I kind of want the Nuggets not to win just because it's Joker, and I look at him like Ivan Drago in the Rocky movies. I kind of want.
I can see that now that you say it.
And then he can win as much as he wants, but I really want somebody to kind of take him down a peg because he's unstoppable. He's completely unstoppable.
Yeah.
But that's because they let him do whatever he wants to do. I mean, I mentioned this. He can lay all over whoever's guarding him. and elbow him out of the way.
And he weighs 360 pounds.
He just walks backwards. That's like all he does. Uh-huh. And then just puts, it's not flashy. It doesn't look amazing. It really doesn't. It's not, it is amazing, but it's not like, some other stars who come through and,
You know why I like him?
Why?
Dad bod.
Oh yeah, total dad bod.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he is not athletic looking at all.
He's not athletic moving.
He doesn't even run.
It's like the jog you do kind of to get across the street during Like you
I do not know that jog. I wait on traffic, Tyler.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of jog that where it doesn't really, you're not moving any faster than walking.
I don't even know what all teams made the NBA playoffs. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many right now, we don't even need to go into it.
I was going to say, I'll wait around and then. Yeah. Did the Mavericks, are they in there? Did the Mavericks make it?
I don't know.
I can't answer
that. They also have Gafford, another Arkansas.
Did the Spurs make it? Did the Spurs even make it?
No, I don't believe
the Spurs did not make it.
So that's crazy. I don't know. I mean, that's how it goes, right? That's how NBA drafts work is that
you got to say his name. I can't.
Well, Wembanyama, he's first round draft pick to the Spurs. It's because they
probably
stunk
be the rookie of the year.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Mavericks fifth seed. Okay, and Daniel Gafford playing for them, doing really well.
He set some kind of record, most consecutive shots made or something.
Yeah, he really did. And interesting. You got the Thunder and the Pelicans, and Thunder lead that one 1-0. You got the Lakers trailing Denver 2-0, which I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
I want the Lakers out.
You want the Lakers out?
Yeah. Hmm. I'm not a LeBron fan.
No.
I don't think he makes his teams better.
Hmm.
He is a great player. There's a fine line there.
Yeah.
What people think about him. I mean, I agree.
He's a great player, and I mean, you can't argue with, he's done well for a really, really long time, but I've just seen him too many times in situations where he should take over, where he defers to somebody with lesser talent. You agree, Jeff?
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, I'm comparing, you always get the Michael Jordan, LeBron James deal.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, nobody's Michael Jordan.
No.
Sorry,
Cody.
Yeah.
I as a casual, I like to see LeBron James play, because I haven't paid that much attention over the years, and it still is fun. Like, he makes plays and stuff, but it's a completely different guy than Jordan. I mean, it's not even comparable. I mean,
and the thing is, to me, about LeBron, what makes him so special at 6'8 or 6'9, he could be Magic Johnson, the 6'8, 6'9 point guard, but he post you up. I mean, he plays every position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Magic did too. I mean, and that's.
Yeah.
It takes quite a ball player.
For sure. Oh, he's a great ball player. I'm just saying.
I didn't put him at the top.
No, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, what I don't like is I like to see different teams win. And so, like you, I'm not for Denver.
Yeah.
Mainly because they won last year.
Right.
I would like to see – it'd be cool for me to see the Thunder win because of the Arkansas players on there.
Yeah.
They're the number one seed in the Western Conference.
Well, an underappreciated fact, why I like the Thunder? Because I was a Supersonics fan,
which moved
to Oklahoma City.
Right.
So, they don't run out to the Lightning and Thunder song, too, do they?
No.
Okay.
If they run out to anything, I hope it's Thunderstruck.
Yeah, Thunderstruck.
It's AC/DC.
It is? Yeah. Okay, good.
I don't know.
It better be.
Ask your buddy when you do your next podcast.
All right, I'll do my
next
podcast.
He'll know. But
if there's a team that runs out to Imagine Dragons, I'm rooting against you.
The only knock against the Thunder, and talking about the three Razorbacks, you like to root for Jalen Williams, and they've got two of them. You have to pay attention to which one's on the court. So,
yeah, that's exactly right. Have we run out of time?
Yeah, sure.
We have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where's J.D. Notte at?
I think he's playing European ball.
Is he?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's the only Razorback I remember listening to 2 years ago, and he sounded awesome.
He was awesome.
He was just gone. So. Yeah.
But, awesome and playing in the NBA, two different
things. Oh, of course.
I mean, there are a lot of awesome players don't make it to the NBA.
Yeah.
And You know, so really quickly, mm-hmm. let's talk about the NFL draft. We got a few minutes.
Whatever it is.
Okay. Yeah. So obviously,
they'll cut out my segment if they need to.
Chicago Bears number one pick. Look like they're definitely going with Caleb Williams.
That still surprises me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they have to now. They got rid of their quarterback. So.
Well, they don't have to. There are other quarterbacks in there. But I think they're pretty much set on Caleb Williams. Yeah. So, you know, when you look at the what we kind of wanted to talk about, and of course Tony's not here to talk about the Steelers, but I will talk about them just for a minute in general sense. They have been very active in the off seasons and trades and picking up players such as, not only these, but the name players, Russell Wilson's. They also got Justin Fields, the starting quarterback from the Chicago Bears, for a sixth-round draft pick. You know, so they've done really well there. They've also picked up a great linebacker from the Ravens. They picked a receiver. I mean, they're poised to do really well this year, I think. But talking about the Dallas Cowboys, their needs are innumerable. And they have been basically non-existent in the offseason after Jerry Jones said they were going to be all in.
Yeah.
And
maybe he's all in with the Razorbacks.
Well, he may be. But I think that one of the things that you got to talk about when you talk about the needs for the Cowboys is the line, offensive and defensive line. And they're, you know, they're going to have some linemen. And so my thought, and what I read a lot of the experts are saying, they need to trade down and get more picks, you know, so they can come up with some more players for the offensive and defensive lines. And I don't disagree with them. I think they've got a couple of position players. They've got some good. They're missing a linebacker after Van Der Esch retired due to injuries. It'd be good to have one of them. And I think they did pick up a linebacker from San Francisco in the offseason.
Who did they get
from? I can't remember the name. Okay. But
so, to somebody who hasn't paid any attention, what's the issue with the Cowboys? I haven't paid any attention at all. I mean, they're getting run over, or is it that bad?
Well,
in the front office, I believe they're getting run over.
Okay.
I think
maybe we don't have time for it.
You know, Tony's not here to talk about this, but you can say what you want to. They are America's team.
Oh, yeah.
They have scrutiny that other team has.
There was some private conversation or something that happened in some Philadelphia room.
That was made up stuff.
Well, real quick, before we get off of that, talking about the trading down to get more picks, the Green Bay Packers, which is my team, we'll kind of talk about them for just a second. Their needs are also offensive line and defensive line. They didn't make a lot of overwhelming moves in the offseason, but Aaron Jones, their premier back, you know, they let him go, and they picked up Josh Jacobs, who's younger, and he's going to be in the backfield with A.J. Dillon, so they're still going to be pretty dynamic there. But the more needs, I mean, the more picks, I told Greg before we went on the air talking about this, the Packers have 11 picks in this NFL draft, 5 picks out of the first 91. You can get some good prospects in there. I mean, people that you can work with, and
so what do they
may not
need?
Expect something. Offensive and defensive line is probably. And you know, the NFL draft, that's Thursday, right? Two days away.
Yeah, it's 2 days away. And I think, you know, I'm really looking forward to it, to see what happens. You know, you've got, it's heavily laden with, a lot of talk about quarterbacks. You know, and you've got 4 quarterbacks, I think, basically, that are you're looking at Caleb Williams from USC. You've got Jordan Daniels from LSU, Drake Mays from North Carolina. And Penix from Washington, he's probably the fourth one. You know, he's a little bit farther.
Bo Nix would be in the mix if he wasn't 32 years old coming out of college.
That's true. He's already done. But I think that, when you look at, I'm just looking at this one mock draft we got here. You got Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears first, and then Drake May, which is a change. I mean, last I knew, Jordan Daniels from LSU was
going to the
Commanders.
Quickly, the NFL draft, it doesn't work like the NBA, right? Like it's more lottery or what is it? Or
the NBA's lottery. This is just based on how you finish.
So if you
were the worst team, worst record, you get the first pick.
So, I mean, it just
unless
seems
there's
crazy.
Been some trades take place and, you know, they'll shuffle them around. But
so the worst team gets the best NCAA quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's at least, you know, graduate.
If your need is quarterback.
Right. Okay, yeah.
You know, enough, like if a defensive end
yeah.
projects out as the best player in the draft, that's, you know, they just go with whoever they think. You know, I think where used to people thought you had sure things, nothing's a lock coming out of college anymore.
Mm.
I mean, we've seen quarterbacks bust. We've seen Purdy. We've talked about this on the podcast. Mr. What do they call him? Mr. Irrelevant, mm-hmm. the last pick of the draft. That was Brock Purdy, who is a starter for the 49ers now and taking them to multiple championship games. I mean,
like
you don't know anymore.
How often have you ever seen the worst team from the last season pick like the number one, like a quarterback, some star NCAA quarterback, and he's able to turn the team around and do well.
I thought you was going the other way with that. Like somebody that was a flop and I was going to go Ryan Leaf. I mean,
that was the first person I thought about.
He was supposed to be the greatest thing coming out of college and
flopped. He just flopped. And then you had also the big dude from LSU that went to the Raiders.
Well, see, I think that bowl game against Notre Dame, I can't remember what bowl it was, he put himself on the map. Threw like five or six touchdowns, 400 yards, and they said, we have to have this kid. I can't think of his name. I know exactly who you're talking about. I
mean, he weighed about 300 pounds, and he weighed 400 by the time he got to
the
training
camp started.
Yeah.
I can't think of somebody that's really just turned them around in a hurry. I mean, I'm trying to think of recent.
Well,
legends even?
Well, I think that, you know, over a period of time, Peyton Manning did really well with the Indianapolis Colts.
Dan Marino years ago.
Dan Marino.
Elway, who I still don't like the way of that went. You know, he played the system well before people were playing the system. You know, he was going to be a baseball pick. Who was it going to draft him that he didn't want to go to? Was it the Colts? Maybe they were Baltimore at the time.
Yeah, it was.
And he didn't want to play for him. His dad didn't want him to play for him. And he was with college baseball and football, and he said, I'll just go to the major leagues. So they dealt that draft pick to somebody else because he said, you know, if y'all draft me, I'm not playing.
Oh, wow.
You know, so the Broncos ended up getting him. And
same thing happened with Eli Manning.
Yeah, same thing with Eli Manning.
Yeah. Crazy.
He forced the San Diego Chargers to trade their pick. He forced him where he got to go to the New York Giants.
I see.
Yeah. So – but, you know, one quarterback I forgot about, which I never was impressed with him, was J.J. McCarthy from Michigan.
And see, I've seen where Minnesota's big on him, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, if I had to pick one guy, I would pick it right there, Marvin Harrison.
I see who that mock draft's got him going to, and if he goes to them, I mean, their quarterback becomes a superstar.
Yep.
Instead of above average.
That's right.
Mm.
That's right. If he goes to the Cardinals, that does a lot for Murray, doesn't it? Kyler Murray's going to be,
you know,
make him a lot more special, won't it?
I said weeks ago on here that if I was the Bears and had a number one pick, I would keep Fields, make a move with somebody, and draft Harrison. A wide receiver is more sure thing than quarterback to make.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I mean, and he makes an average quarterback a great quarterback.
Mm.
Injuries, you never know how injuries will play out. But see, they got Penix going right there, didn't they?
To the Vikings. Vikings, and then see the next one.
So this is a mock draft.
Yeah, it's a mock draft, You're looking at. I mean, you know, a lot of people. I mean, the thing about it is, what used to be the first round used to be full of quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers,
stars. Right.
Well. But a lot more risk.
And
a lot of downside to them.
And left tackles.
Yeah.
You get somebody that's got the blind side of the quarterback. I mean, there's been a lot of left tackles make a lot of money in the draft. And this is something we'll be able to talk a lot more about next week.
Yeah.
Because we'll know who took who and who made what crazy move to move up and take Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I think that would be a good place. That may be a good place to stop because mm-hmm. we've rambled on for quite a while.
Right.
Now.
It's all right.
But a lot of good stuff this week, especially with high school sports. I mean, baseball, softball, going to regionals this next week, and we'll be covering all the teams as they move into those regional tournaments and track district meets this week. They'll be going to state soon. Soccer just blowing it up,
yeah.
And they're fixing to get ready to go into the playoffs also. So we'll be talking about all that as we move into next week, and we appreciate everybody that listens to us. We appreciate all our sponsors each week, and we especially appreciate the kids that allow us to talk about it.
It's been really fun. I appreciate y'all letting me sit in to be an adequate replacement for Tony.
You did less than adequate.
Well, you want us to determine that now. That was at the first. Now,
and just for Tony, before we get off here, I just want to say, since he didn't get to today, go Herd.
There you go. Go Herd.
That's right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.